Good morning and greetings to all of you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here, to be gathered together again this morning. Appreciated Randall's devotions on shade. And when he mentioned shade, when he said shade, my mind went a completely different direction. But I enjoyed the thought of shade as unity, and that's a very applicable application of shade. But I was also thinking of God's word as shade and the way it protects us, and also the aspect of the unity together protecting us. And so I enjoyed the look at shade this morning. Kervin is planning to preach at Ridgeview tonight. He didn't mention that, so I'll mention that for him. But I believe he's on planning to preach there this evening. So remember him in your prayers as well. I want to look at an Old Testament character this morning. Turn to Numbers 14:24 for a first verse. But this verse introduces the character or mentions the character and also has a phrase that I want to pull out for a title this morning. Numbers 14, verse 24. And that verse reads like this: "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And so the character we want to think about this morning is Caleb. And when you hear the word Caleb, maybe children, what do you think of when you think of Caleb? What event? Anyone, what event do you think of when you think of Caleb? Drella, give me this mountain. Yes, that's one event, and there's one other event. Claire. Right. He was one of the 12 spies. Correct. So those two events, and as it is with many Bible characters, we don't know a lot about them. Caleb, we know from those two events. We know he was one of the 12 spies, and we also know him for his famous statement of, "Give me this mountain." And we'll look at both of those events as we go through the message this morning. For a title, I've given it the title, "A Man with Another Spirit." That was God speaking here in verse 24, the verse that we read. God is speaking through Moses, and he says, Caleb, he had another spirit with him. And so, a man with another spirit. And this word "another" means simply other or different from the rest. There was something about Caleb that set him apart from the rest. He had another spirit. Now, if you turn back to Numbers 13, to the previous chapter, I want to read the first three verses. This is the story now where we're first introduced to Caleb. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And then the next verses there, he names each of these 12 men that went, that he chose to send out. In verse 6, "Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh." And so he was one of these men picked to represent the tribe of Judah. And these men were specifically supposed to be men that were rulers among their tribe. And so this wasn't just anybody from the tribe. This was supposed to be someone that held some prominence or leadership position within the tribe. Somebody that had some position in the tribe. They were to be rulers. They were supposed to be heads of their tribe. And so Caleb was well known in his tribe. We know that he was 40 years old, and we'll read that verse later. He was 40 years old, and so we assume that the rest were of a similar age. All 12 of these men were born in Egypt. All 12 of them had witnessed the plagues, had experienced the deliverance from Egypt. All 12 had firsthand experience with crossing the Red Sea, the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. They had seen the destruction of the Egyptian army. All 12 of them had tasted manna, had eaten manna 3 meals a day, and were still eating manna 3 meals a day. They had drunk water from the rock that Moses had struck, and the water had gushed out miraculously. And all 12 of them saw the same sights on their 40-day excursion into the land of Canaan. They spent 40 days traipsing through this promised land and collecting of the fruits of the land and seeing the sights and bringing back a report. But God said, Caleb has another spirit within him, something that set him apart from the others. Now I want to read more of this story. Jump to verse 17 of chapter 13. And we're going to read this story here. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now I want to jump down to verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. And then jumping to 36, he had a couple of verses. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander unto the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Caleb had another spirit with him. How did he display this spirit? How did this other spirit affect his life? Well, first of all, number one, Caleb was a man of strong faith. He trusted God despite opposition. He saw the same giants. He saw the same walled cities that all the other spies saw. But while the other 10 compared themselves to the enemy, Caleb contrasted them with God. The 10 walked by sight, but not by faith. And Caleb said, "We're well able," or we could say, "We can certainly do it." In 14 verse 8, he said, "The Lord will give it to us." But the people said, "They're stronger than we are." And maybe that was true from a human perspective. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 9, two verses here, verses 1 and 2. "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" And so we could say those, they were justified in their thoughts, weren't they? Because here's Moses speaking, and he specifically says, you know, the saying is that who can stand before the children of Anak? Those were the giants. Who can stand before them? They're greater than we are. And so that was true from a human perspective. They were going against an enemy that was greater than they were. And it's interesting also that these giants are specifically named. In verse 22, it gives the name of these three brothers, these three sons of Anak. And they were notorious, apparently, and notorious enough and well-known enough that they were named here in the record. And we've never seen giants like these today. I think it's safe to say that. These were probably the ancestors of Goliath. And it's recorded how tall Goliath was. And so we often say Goliath was around 9 feet tall, give or take a little bit. So assuming that these giants were similar height, 9 feet tall or so, did you ever see anybody 9 feet tall? Well, probably not. I don't know how tall this platform is here, 18 inches or so, a foot and a half. And I'm not quite 6 feet. So I had a couple feet taller than me yet. Imagine a man that tall. That would be a little scary, wouldn't it? To meet somebody that tall and broad, that's a big man. But certainly they weren't tall enough to warrant their exaggeration here that we felt like grasshoppers. You know how big a grasshopper is. So if you do the proportion, if you say, well, they were indeed like grasshoppers, well, that means these giants had to be over 150 feet tall. And so we know that was an exaggeration, because I think it's safe to say that these giants were not that big, even though they were big. The tallest person living today lives in Turkey, according to the Guinness World Book of World Records, and he's 8 feet, 2.8 inches. So that's tall. That's a little over 8 feet. The tallest recorded person in modern history, he's no longer living, was 8 feet 11 inches, I believe. I forgot to write it down. 8 feet 11 inches, I think. But that's tall. That's very tall. That's big people. And they're we've never seen anybody that tall. Probably the tallest person we've seen is maybe around 7 feet. But we've probably never felt threatened or in danger by a giant either. But we do face giants today in other areas of life. Things that are bigger than we are. They're overwhelming. They're frightening. On our own, they overcome us. Bad habits, temptations, selfish tendencies. Maybe the giant in your life is a normal-sized person that you have a hard time appreciating or a hard time getting along with. Maybe it's a decision that we have to make, something that we're facing. Can be a giant. It looks overwhelming. And it might be stronger than we are. And we will lose if we focus on ourselves and on the giant, if we try to tackle it by ourselves. But victory is always guaranteed if we focus on God. Just like Caleb said, we're well able to do it. Because he went with God. He was trusting in God. He claimed his promises and his presence for victory. And so the spirit that Caleb had was an unwavering faith in God. Number two, Caleb stood strong despite negative influence and popular opinion. His position here was definitely in the minority. This wasn't even an evenly matched debate. First of all, it was 2-10, and then it was 2 against the multitude. He didn't argue with the facts. Most of what these spies said was true. There were walled and strong cities. There were mighty giants. It was a fruitful land. And he reminded of them of that fact. And he spoke what he believed. In Joshua 14, this is, and we're going to read this story again, the rest of this story later, but just I want to just pick out one verse here a while. He says, and this is Caleb speaking. He says, I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And that could be literally translated, I spoke from my convictions. I spoke from my convictions. I believed this strongly in my heart, and this is what I spoke, he says. He said, we can do it. And so while the others spread fear, Caleb spoke faith. And isn't this how human nature works? And how quickly negativity can spiral out of control? They start off, they came back, and we saw that when we read in verse 27. They start their report, and they say, it's a great land. There's milk and honey. Look at this fruit. And yeah, there are some giants. There are some great cities. And then Caleb gives his opinion. And then it went downhill rapidly because they say, we're not able to go. And then they said, it's actually, first of all, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now they said it's a land that eats up its inhabitants. And so now not only it's not a land that's giving, it's a land that's taking. And so their story completely changed. And as well as we already talked about their exaggeration here about the being as grasshoppers. But they didn't stop there. They went on to say that it'd been better if we would have died in Egypt. It was probably only about a year since they had left Egypt, that they had been delivered from the bondage in Egypt, and now they're saying it would be better if we would have just died in Egypt or died in the wilderness on the way here. Let's go back. Let's get a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. That'd be better for us. And then they went as far as to threaten to kill their fellow spies, their friends, their relatives, because they were speaking truth. He was speaking truth. How firmly are you rooted in God's truth? How easily are you swayed by popular opinion? He spoke what was in his heart. He spoke what he knew was truth, and he stood firmly on that. And as a subgroup of Christianity that emphasizes literal obedience to God's word, we are in the minority. We're very much in the minority. Christians today, Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity is very much in the minority. We face pressure to blend in with society. We face pressure to compromise on positions that the Bible speaks clearly on. Things such as non-resistance, modesty, marriage between one man and one woman, the sanctity of human life from conception. And we sing the song, we didn't sing it this morning, but some mornings we sing it, that if no one joins me, still I will follow. Do you ever think about what you're actually saying there? If no one joins me, if I have to do this alone, I'm going to do it alone. That's what we sing. Do we really mean that? Well, that's what Caleb did here. He was very much alone. Of course, Joshua was with him as well, but it's interesting that this story strongly features Caleb in the story, and he's the one that says that he had another spirit with him. And so the spirit that Caleb was filled with enabled him to stand firmly on truth, even when the rest of the multitude was against him. Number three, Caleb was a man of courage. Courage is the ability to act in faith despite fear. And Caleb demonstrated this in his life. He saw opportunities where others saw obstacles because he focused on God's power rather than on the size of the enemy and the strength of the enemy. He had courage to stand on what was in his heart even when threatened by being stoned by his own people. And he believed that he could do what God wanted him to do. And the second story about Caleb, where he said, "Give me this mountain," was 45 years later. He was 85 years old at that time. But he was still as confident then in God's presence and God's power and God's victory as he was here. And he drove out the giants and conquered Hebron. And so to be a follower of God, we need to have courage to face adversity when standing for truth. There are many who will oppose the bearers of truth rather than submitting to God's will. It's easier to shoot the messenger than to accept the message. And so the spirit that was with Caleb gave him the courage to stand with God. Fourthly, he followed God wholeheartedly. He followed God wholeheartedly. The opposite of wholeheartedly is half-heartedly, right? Indifferent, lukewarm. He was wholeheartedly and wholehearted. And in the verse 24 that we started with at the very beginning of chapter 14 here of Numbers, where God's speaking, he says, "Caleb had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. And six times in the stories about Caleb does it use that phrase, or a very similar phrase, saying that Caleb followed God fully. That was God's testimony of Caleb when he was 40 years old. Now, if you go back to Joshua 14, and we want to read this story now that I have alluded to several times. And remember, this was 45 years later. Starting at Joshua 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God.'" And so there he's speaking of himself. That's his testimony. He says, "I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war." And as we read that story, this is Caleb telling his story now. You can see all of our previous points demonstrated in here. His faith, his great faith in God, was still as strong at 85 as it was when he was 40. His courage. He says, "I'm well able to go take this mountain. I'm 85 years old." That's, in our minds, that was an old man. And it was an old, he was getting older then as well. But he says, "I'm still as strong as I was back when I was 40. I can conquer just as well now as I could then, because God is with me." God had promised Caleb an inheritance in Canaan. Caleb had walked the land 45 years earlier. He had walked this land. He had seen the promised land, the land that God had promised him to him. He had tasted the fruit. But he couldn't receive his promise at that point. Because, he says, because my brethren, and it's interesting that he still called them his brethren. He says, "My brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." And so because of his brethren, he was not able to take possession of the promise that God had promised to him. even though he was fully capable and fully confident in God that he could. And he spent the last 45 years wandering in the wilderness, enduring all the hardships of that sojourn, and not because of anything that he had done. He suffered because of the faithfulness of his brethren, of the children of Israel. But he still followed God wholeheartedly. His commitment to God was lifelong. And we don't know what all he was doing those 45 years or what all he faced those 45 years. But he readily acknowledged, he says, God kept me alive these 40 and 5 years. In verse 10 there, he says, God kept me alive these 45 years. He hadn't retired from following God. He didn't say, well, yeah, God gave me this promise, but now I'm an old man. I guess somebody also have to take the promise. He wasn't discouraged that, well, I'm an old man now. Now I'm not going to be able to enjoy this. He didn't say, I'm too old. No, when he got the opportunity, he was chomping at the bit, as the expression goes. He says, give me this mountain. I'm ready to take my promise now. I'm ready to receive my promise. God kept me alive. God's still with me. I'm still as strong today. Give me this mountain. And he followed God to victory. He followed God to victory over the giants. He secured this promised land for him and his descendants. And in verse 14, it says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's why he was victorious. That's why he conquered the mountain, because he wholly followed God. These sons of Anak were still living there. And we didn't read the verse here, but there's another verse in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, where it specifically mentions that he drove out the three sons of Anak, and it specifically names the three that were named back. So they were still living. So I don't know how old they were the first time around, and I don't know how old they were now, but they were still there, and they were still a force to be reckoned with, and probably they had sons by this time too. But they drove them out. They destroyed them and conquered Hebron. Dr. John Rawlings was a pastor and a theologian who began his full-time ministry when he was 25 years old. And when he was 36 years old, he helped found the Baptist Bible College that's down here in Springfield, Missouri. And he could have said, well, I've done enough. But at 95, those that knew him when he was 95 years old knew that he still maintained a 10-year ministry plan. Every year he'd update his 10-year ministry plan. And at 95, the author I was reading said he showed him his 10-year ministry plan. He was planning to continue as long as God gave him life, and he lived till he was 99 years old. But he wasn't ready to give up, even though he was 95 years old. Have you ever waited 45 years for something that was promised to you? Most of you haven't even lived 45 years yet. Most of us, I should say, haven't lived 45 years yet. There's a handful of you that have. Would you be willing to wait 45 years for a promise? I don't know if I would be. Am I willing to wait a year or 6 months? How quick am I to give up? How quick am I to begin to doubt God when things don't go my way immediately? I think this is what God wants me to do, but it's not working. It's not happening. We like things to move. We like things to happen. Most of us don't do well with patiently waiting. We wish God would have a buy it now button, don't we? That we could say, this is what we want. Click here, buy it now, and we're good to go. But God doesn't work that way always. Or many times. Sometimes God wants us to wait a while. Sometimes he wants us to trudge around in the wilderness for a little bit. Caleb trudged for 45 years. And his testimony was still as strong or stronger that it, as it was 45 years earlier. Peter in 2 Peter 1, 5 mentions that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And we could spend the rest of the morning and all afternoon listing promises, such as, with God all things are possible. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will make a way of escape. Just a few. And these promises are to anyone that's willing to follow God wholeheartedly. And we can only claim the promises if we're willing to follow wholeheartedly, if we are following wholeheartedly. Caleb held to these promises for 45 years. How long are you willing to hold to God's promises? God's promises don't change. 45 years later, God's promise was still the same. God still had a mountain for Caleb to go conquer. Are we wholeheartedly trusting God's promises? Are we content to follow wherever and whenever and however God leads and trust his timing while we're doing it? Caleb had a spirit, another spirit within him, and that spirit enabled him to follow God wholeheartedly. It was a spirit of faith. It was a spirit of truth. It was a spirit of courage. It was the spirit of God. And whether it was courageously standing for truth against his friends and family, or living in the wilderness for 45 years, or scaling that mountain in those walled cities, he was wholly following the Lord God. And God gave him his promise. And his family and his descendants. And we could read on in the story where he specifically offered his daughter to somebody else that had as much courage as he had. And it was his nephew, I believe, that went out and conquered and won Caleb's daughter as wife, and he gave them an inheritance of land and fountains. They reaped the benefit of their father's faithfulness. What spirit is with you today? There are giants today. There's giants of fear, giants of doubt, giants of lust, giants of pride. There's naysayers and negative influences, or maybe we could say negative influencers. There's opportunities to compromise all around us. There's still mountains to conquer. Having a different spirit, having another spirit, means that we will be men and women of conviction. It means we will stand up and stand firm on all the Bible says. We'll claim God's promises no matter how unpopular it might be. And we'll wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Because God has promised victory to those that have the same spirit that Caleb had. And he has a promised land for us as well. We haven't been to the promised land yet. Caleb did. Caleb had the privilege of walking through the promised land and then not being able to be there for 45 years. We've not walked the promised land yet, but we can read about it, a little bit about it. And we know that it's going to be wonderful. And we know it's promised for us. And we know it can be ours. And we don't have to drive giants out of the promised land. God already has the promised land secured for us. All we have to do is follow faithfully, with courage, with boldness, wholeheartedly, and we can receive the mountain at the end of life. Let's pray.